Professor Ricaro, Sports Byline Broadcast Network, $750 billion business of sports. And we celebrate legacies on this show, and we also celebrate unbridled potential. And there is nothing better in that category than someone who will have her 20th birthday on March 20th, but she's already 16th in WTA rankings. And, oh, by the way, let's not forget an easy Australian Open semifinal in her resume 3 or 4 months ago. Sloane Stephens, how's that? How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing wonderfully. So here's the bottom line for those of us who want to talk about on-court stuff. Obviously, the Australian semis was a learning experience onward and upward, right? That builds and therefore is easier to learn from that match and go to the next one and the next one. And now it's, you can't say easier to play in each major, but you're certainly a more seasoned veteran than you were a few years ago.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of years on the tour now, so it's been good. And I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm a seasoned veteran, but I'd say I'm getting up there. Being seated at the Grand Slam obviously is, you know, a pretty good effort, and I think I've played so much now that I'm kind of getting used to it, but I think I got a long way to being a seasoned veteran, I'd say.
I'll say pretty good. Now, you know, I live in South Florida, your plantation. Serena and Venus inspirations are publicly listed. I know Chris Evert is down there as well. By the way, you have Boston blood in the family. You're not a Patriots fan, are you?
Oh, that's so funny you said that, because I just got a customized jersey in the mail like 2 days ago. So, I mean, kind of crazy, but yeah.
No, but the bottom line is the Dolphins have to play better in order to earn our respect. So we'll leave it at that. But so inspirationally, obviously the Williams sisters are inspirations for you, Chris Evert down there. Who are your heroes on and off the court?
I'd say my grandpa is like my biggest hero. I mean, obviously, I have so much respect for him, and I love my grandpa to death. But I think, like, athlete-wise, I love, like, Eric LeGrand. I love Rick and Dick Hoyt. Like, I love them all, and I just love, you know, great stories and things behind people who have, like, overcome a lot of adversity and just things like that. I mean, a good story is someone to love and someone to appreciate, and I think everyone really, you know, can you know, look to that and say, oh, like, I love that. And, I mean, those are the kind of people that I love and I enjoy seeing.
Well, very important that you mention athlete heroes, not necessarily because of their numbers, performances on the field, but with Eric LeGrand, the kind of inspirational message he has. And of course, your mom, the first African-American female first-team All-American in D1 history at Boston University. Proud of that, aspire to that, look up to that, I assume, right?
Yeah, definitely. My mom is, like, unbelievable athlete. And now when she's like, yeah, I'm going to cycling class, I'm like, Mom, you're a swimmer. What are you doing? But, I mean, it's definitely something crazy. And, like, it's just, like, imagine, like, it was before I was born, she was doing unbelievable things. And, I mean, so many great things have happened before even I was even thought of, that it's kind of crazy to think of now. But my mom's such an unbelievable athlete, and I'm just so glad she gave me great genes.
Well, she's an unbelievable athlete, but she also rose to some unbelievable challenges, I assume, as far as where she needed to be, you know, at BU to do what she did. So there are lessons that were learned beyond the game as well, I assume, right?
Yes, definitely. My mom has taught me so much about adversity and overcoming things and things in your life that aren't going to go your way, and, you know, how to kind of just push through. And I've had some crazy things happen in my short 19 years here. So, I mean, she's really helped me just kind of get through that. And, I mean, just a lot of, like, life things that have happened that she's really helped me through, because obviously she's been there. She's an athlete. She knows. And, I mean, it's definitely tough having your mom, like, kind of, like, be there with you all the time, but it's definitely a good thing when, you know, your parent wants what's best for you, and they've been there, and they know all about that. So it's definitely a good thing.
Sloane Stephens, Grand Slam semifinalist before the age of 20, which is pretty stout. How has your incredible fitness regimen contributed to your success?
Oh, my goodness. I can't even begin to tell you. Like, I'd rather do fitness, and I would rather practice. And it's definitely been tough just trying to stay injury-free. And, like, I have to remember to, like, take all my supplements and everything, because they're, like, rejuvenate your body, this and that. And I kind of didn't get that when I was younger. So now I'm definitely, like, really into, like, taking care of my body and, like, just, you know, just keeping up with everything, my drinks and, you know, just taking my vitamins and everything. So it's definitely tough, but definitely something I'm learning over time because your body is everything, really.
19-year-olds are invulnerable. Are you invulnerable?
Yes and no. I don't know.
Well, listen, the bottom line is your body is very important, obviously, to taking you to where you need to go, but preparing for the regimen that is world-class tennis on tour must be pretty tough as well. Have you found the tour itself to be physically exhausting? Is it something you can handle, and how do you prepare for it?
Yeah, it's definitely very tough, like just being on the road all the time and having to go different places and constantly being on planes and being away from home, but it's definitely worth it in the end because I love, you know, to travel and I love seeing all the girls on the tour and just being around, and it's definitely really tough, but I think after a while you get used to it and it's just another day and just another day to get better and another opportunity, and I think that's kind of how everyone looks at it because it's just, it's a good thing, and when you get to do what you love, there's always something brighter on the other side, so I think it's really good.
You played an ITF professional tournament in late 2007, which in my meager intellectual thinking makes you 14 when you played it. Does that pose an issue to kind of generally people in the kids that are coming up now? You have some perspective on it. You would say, no, 14 is not too young to play, but what do you have to be careful about, especially knowing some of the players at the other end in their early, mid-20s walk away from the game because of burnout? Do you think there should be a rule that kind of monitors that? How do you feel about 14-year-olds playing pro tournaments today?
It's a tricky thing because some parents are really, really tough on their kids and want them to play tournaments all the time and really stress them and give them, like, a really – they're really tough on them. But there's some parents that are really good about it. Like, you know, you don't have to play if you don't want to. And, like, you know, we're going on family vacation, so you don't have to play this tournament, even though it's really important. And, I mean, some parents are just different. And I think some people have gotten into the really, like, you're going to be a professional when you're 14. And we're going to say that you went pro when you were 13. And, like, oh, it's just, there's some crazy things out there. But I think most of all, like, most of the parents are really good parents who just want what's best for their kids. And I think there's just a few people who slipped through the cracks and just had a little bit of, you know, some ups and downs, and some of them have stopped playing tennis, and that's unfortunate, but I think overall, like, the rule's in place for a reason, and obviously a good reason, but I think definitely it's a good thing, and it's tough, but it works out. It's what's best for the kid.
Sloane Stephens, watch for her. Last question, that's 30 seconds left. What's the brand of Sloane Stephens mean if you kind of are doing an elevator speech for a corporate partner or an endorser down the road? What does the brand of Sloane Stephens symbolize?
Oh, my goodness, that's crazy. I've never thought of that. My friend was just asking me, she's like, do you have an elevator speech? And I'm like, no, what's that? So I just found out what that is, and I really don't have one. I mean, I don't have one yet. You caught me too soon.
Well, all right, so here's the answer, I guess. It is a work in progress, somebody who is learning as she goes along, and I suspect with a few more semifinals under your belt and finals, you're going to be able to write your own elevator speech. How's that?
Yes, definitely. I think you're absolutely correct.
Good. Well, we're going on the road together. That's the right answer. Sloane Stephens, watch for her, and obviously grounded, successful, not even 20 yet, and a shining star in the women's tennis circuit for everybody to watch and everybody to emulate, both on the court and obviously off the court as well. Rick Haro, Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Be back after the break.